business sponsors, just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion of the issue each and every day. We're talking about an issue today that I believe is taking place, though it may be subtle in some areas. It's becoming more and more open in many areas, and that is Christian persecution. We're talking about today Christian persecution. Are we like the frog in the kettle with the water boiling? Are we as Christians in the kettle not paying attention to the water getting hotter and hotter each and every day? One writer said that. We'll talk about that during the broadcast today. Perhaps you recall in the biblical account of Christian persecution recorded in Acts chapter 8 and 9. I'll read chapter 8, verse 1, 2, and 3 briefly to set the stage. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria and entire area by the apostles. Verse 3 says, and for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. The apostle, Saul of Tarsus, that became the apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus thought he was bidding God a favor, thought he was doing God's work when he was persecuting and prosecuting the church. He would chase down Christians. He would persecute them, prosecute them, throw them in jail, and some would be put to death. And ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you say today, we're free. We've got a Bill of Rights. They can't do that to us. Speaking of government, governmental agencies. That may be hypothetically true, but is it literally true? The answer to that question is no, not in your life. We're witnessing the subtle and now very open persecution and prosecution of Christians, conservatives, and patriots. Christians in particular. Just think of about 2 years ago now, the 32-page document formulated by the DOJ, given to the FBI to carry out. Christian parents going before the school boards, challenging the school boards about the pornography that's being taught under the guise of LGBTQIP+ agenda. When the Christian parents do that, they're to be considered, put on the books as domestic terrorists. If that's not open, in-your-face Christian persecution, nothing is. Today on the broadcast, I'd love to hear from you. Have you experienced any Christian persecution? Perhaps you have a workplace that you work at. You're not allowed to put John 3:16 on the cubicle wall where you're working. Perhaps in the workplace that you're in, you're not allowed to talk about Christianity, spirituality, or try to tell others about Jesus. If that is the case, ladies and gentlemen, that is Christian persecution in the highest form. But we're going to talk about some things that's more grave than that. We'll talk about some things that is taking place that absolutely is almost could be considered unconscionable today in today's society. Christian persecution. Are we like the frog in the water with the temperature going higher and higher, not paying attention until we're boiled to death, or if you put it in the actuality, until eventually we have no Christian liberties at all? I believe we're on the verge of seeing that. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, according to Psalms 117:2, that is absolutely eternal, everlasting, without end, the truth of the word of God. Yet we find people today trying to bifurcate the word, trying to somehow, some way, split the truth of the word. I go back to the secularist George Orwell. Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Ladies and gentlemen, we stand as Christians speaking the truth in love. There are those that will get angry and will be perturbed and bothered by that. We need to understand that's part of the germination of open out in your face persecution that we're on the fast track for in our great nation. Truth matters. We need to recognize it matters, regardless of whether it's theological, doctrinal, biblical, whether it's societal, economic, whether it's military, or it is called political today. Truth still matters. And I believe it's time we take a stand on that. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint said he warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And I believe we find that to be true today. The death of truth. In fact, it is seen more openly today, perhaps, than in history past. The latest survey says most millennials, the headline says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, the article goes on to say that 55% of the 18 to 35-year-old age group, which are the millennials, says that each person, they claim, that age group, they claim that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. Anything less than a whole truth is a half-truth, and a half-truth is a whole lie. We need to recognize that. It's urgent, as Christians in particular, that we recognize that. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's the key to it, is defending the truth, standing on the truth. There used to be a real value placed in a witness on the stand in a court of law. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And we find today there's the deviation from and a resentment of. In fact, most times today, they're not even requiring a Bible to place your hands on as to be a witness sworn in into the court system, because the so-called fact that some say that the Bible is offensive, and as a result of that, they don't want to offend anybody. And that is what is taking place in society today. And that's part and parcel of the persecution and the prosecution of Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right in the heart of Mandarin. It's right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295 Beltway. There's an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is flying Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find the flag at the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go back to the first century church and look at the open, in-your-face Christian persecution. Acts chapter 8 and 9 is a good illustration of that, with Saul of Tarsus openly persecuting the church. He had Stephen stoned to death and stood there watching as he was stoned to death. And ladies and gentlemen, there are many today listening at the sound of my voice that you think, well, because we're not being stoned to death, because Christians are not being openly hanged or somehow executed openly, that we are not having Christian persecution. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to that little theory about the frog being put in a kettle. Put the kettle on the burner on the stove, turn the burner on, and the frog, as the water gets hotter and hotter, the frog doesn't recognize he is being boiled to death. And I believe that's the position we're in today as Christians. Christian persecution. Are we like the frog in the kettle being boiled to death? Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What say you? In fact, ladies and gentlemen, part of what is told to us in Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 and following, as you understand wars and rumors of wars, there's going to be pestilences, that's diseases, earthquakes, etc., etc. But ladies and gentlemen, early on in the 24th chapter, you find part of the signs of the last days is open persecution. 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 Persecution of the Christians in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 is a good verse for us today. Matthew 5, 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said that we should be recognized that we are blessed when we're persecuted for righteousness, that is, persecuted as Christians for the rightness based on the authority of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian persecution is real today. Let me just read you two or three brief paragraphs from an article that's extensive on that subject. Christian persecution in America. Headline, Christian persecution in America, unveiling the truth behind the concerns. As concerns rise regarding Christian persecution within the United States, many believers and faith leaders are seeking clarity on the situation. The land known for its fundamental principles of religious liberties and freedom now face a complex reality where expressions of faith are occasionally met with opposition, legal challenges, social pressures. Explore the multifaceted aspects of Christian persecution in America. It's in its various forms, and it takes a lot of insight, to, as this writer puts it, to be able to navigate through the challenges of that persecution. Let me just read you a brief paragraph and a statement following that. Subtitle on this article, Understanding the Spectrum, Christian Persecution in America. Persecution takes on many forms, from subtle discrimination, social ostracization, to more overt legal battles and acts of violence. In the context of the United States, it is essential to recognize that even milder forms of discrimination and persecution can be deeply unsettling for those who experience them. The Holy Scriptures offered profound insights in the nature of the persecution and how believers are to respond. Jesus himself mentioned in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are they that are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And ladies and gentlemen, there's one other brief paragraph. In recent years, there have been numerous instances that some views as encroachments upon religious freedom. Court cases challenging the presence of religious symbols in public spaces. For example, ladies and gentlemen, there are multitudes of places of business, professionals today, that the Christian cannot put a cross on the wall in his or her cubicle where he works. Cannot have anything that reads John 3:16. Cannot put anything publicly that can be. In fact, on one occasion, just a couple of years ago, in a public workspace, in a cubicle of that nature, where a worker had her Bible laying on her desk in her private cubicle, and she was told by that professional organization it must be put in her desk drawer because that Bible could offend somebody. Now, that's been a mantra and a mindset, an attitude for several years in America, that the Bible might be offensive and therefore you cannot have it. Classrooms in the public schools will not allow the teacher to have a Bible on his or her desk, whether it's open or closed. A case right here in the state of Florida about 5 or 6 years ago, where the teacher had the Bible on the desk and the principal of the school ordered it to be removed. Finally, it went into a hearing scenario, legally speaking, and the school administration argued that even though that Bible was closed, a student could inadvertently open it and read something in that Bible that would cause irreparable harm to that child. That's the mindset today. That's open, in-your-face Christian persecution. This article goes further, identifying the subtle forms of the challenge to Christians. These challenges can include workplace discrimination, suppression of religious expression in academic settings, or media portrayals that may misrepresent Christian values. It's about a 4 or 5 page article, very extensive as to the form and style of what can be found as Christian persecution today. Ladies and gentlemen, our Bill of Rights is under attack. Let me just read to you our First Amendment. Congress shall make no laws representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's part of the First Amendment. Let me read that again. Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. As we're exercising our religious liberties and freedom today, ladies and gentlemen, in the world in which we're living, there are more and more rules, regulations, and laws and ordinances being passed than you'd ever dream possible that says that we as Christians must stay hidden in the closet. The idea is in the civil government and society in general today is that it's all right if you're a Christian, if you're in your church building and you talk about Jesus, but God forbid that if you talk about Jesus publicly. It's okay in your church, behind the four walls of what's called the church building, if you pray in Jesus' name, but God forbid that if you do that publicly, it is offensive to those that are non-Christian. Therefore, we must relinquish our rights and freedoms to those that are the naysayers and those that claim that they get upset because of a cross or Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, talks about the cross is offensive to the lost person. I'm paraphrasing. Your leisure, go back and look at it. The cross is an offense to those that refuse to say yes to Jesus Christ. The Word of God is an offense. In fact, it was not too long ago that Jerry Nadler and the House of Representatives, U.S. House of Representatives, when they were trying to pass one of the sodomite bills, one of the representatives was on the floor of the House reading from the Bible how that bill was countering the Word of God. Jerry Nadler screamed out, "The Bible has no place in the halls of Congress." And that's the mindset that's generally found in our system of government today, the civil government that is over us, that God ordained, according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, God ordained civil government to be that which prosecutes evil and protects good. And as Christians, we're finding today that the rules, the regulations, the laws generally do not protect the good, but it prosecutes the good and protects the evil in our society. Ladies and gentlemen, often it's very, very subtle. But by government policies and laws that are established today can also be real persecution for the Christian. Persecution for the Christian, for God's people, is not something that's new, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that telephone number, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Do you see persecution in the marketplace today for Christians? Are Christians being persecuted and prosecuted in our school system today? In our boards of education, when there's a push for the LGBTQI agenda, the push for the CRT agenda, the push for pornography being used as classroom studies, is that a persecution of Christians and Christian beliefs? You bet it is, without any equivocation. It is in your face for the Christian saying, we're going to do this whether you like it or not. And you recall, perhaps in the book of Daniel, in the third chapter, three young Jewish boys refused to bow down to a false god. Refused to bow down. The king called them in and chided them. Said, I tell you what, we're going to let the orchestra play one more time. When the orchestra plays, everybody else is bowing down. You've got to bow down too. If you don't, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. So these three young men didn't bow. When they were challenged, they didn't bend. They were thrown in the fiery furnace and they didn't burn because they took a stand for righteousness and for godliness. And I believe that should be the example and the symbol that we'll go by today in recognizing what God would have us to do as Christians. The problem is, if you can allow me for a moment to go to the opposite side of what we're talking about, the problem is many Christians, they'd rather go along to get along rather than standing for truth and for righteousness. Most Christians, they're willing to compromise the biblical values in order to get along in society. Most Christians today, that as they say they're saved, go into the civil government, local, state, or national, and before you know it, they're compromising in order to get a bill passed. They're compromising to appease the other side of the aisle. You know, the side of the aisle, generally speaking, that's a donkey representing their party. That should tell you enough right there. But ladies and gentlemen, that's compromising. Compromise is sin, and yet that is compromising the truth of the gospel because there's a fear somehow that you've got to do that to get along in the society in which we're living in today. I find it absolutely disdainful that Christians would take that approach. But listen, God says in God's word, in Matthew 5:10, that we're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. If we love the Lord, if you're living in this world today, if you're listening today, and you're a Christian, and you're not finding persecution and objection, and somehow, some way, an affront to you and what you stand for, then there's something wrong with your Christian faith. I believe that if we said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, based on the authority of Scripture, we're going to find persecution and prosecution and ill will on behalf of those that hate God and are anti-Christian. I believe we're living more and more in an anti-God, anti-Christian society than in the history of the United States of America today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another headline. Are American Christians really persecuted? Question mark. This article reads, anti-Christian hostility is on the minds of many American Christians these days. Each new legal challenge to religious liberty at the state and federal levels raises the issue afresh and anew. It seems that today Christians must think through their cultural position more carefully than at any other point in time in U.S. history. Now, why would that be a warning? Simply because I believe as Christians we're asleep today to the reality of what is happening. Listen very carefully. May I just do a little parenthetical footnote to that? I believe multitudes of Christians are willing to absorb the shock of Christian persecution in the workplace because they're afraid of losing their job. They're afraid of somehow, some way, not measuring up and being fired from their work. There's a need for Christians to take a stand and recognize that we have our rights, not just by the Bill of Rights, but God gave us the Bill of Rights. Our founding fathers codified them in our Constitution. But it is God-given rights that we have, and the God-given rights we have as Christians is for us to be able to speak up, stand up, and be salt and light that the Lord Jesus has charged us with the responsibility. But the more we back up, the more we bow, the more we bend, the more we compromise, the more we, quote, reach across the aisle, as would be called politically, the more we find that we're going to be persecuted and prosecuted in the society in which we are living in today. May I say, it is necessary that we stand up for truth. May I say today, when you look at the scripture in the New Testament, the 8th and 9th chapters of the book of Acts, we find, ladies and gentlemen, New Testament shares with us the information about the prosecution and persecution of Christians perhaps more clearly and more extensively than any other single text in the Bible. And it was done in that era, and we're seeing today where we're back at the level of the first century church when it comes to the prosecution and persecution of believers. We need to recognize where we stand, what is taking place, and why it is happening, and be able to stand for truth while we yet have an opportunity. Listen, If we lose our Bill of Rights, if we lose our freedom of speech, if we lose our religious liberties, what do we have left as a nation for the Christians, conservatives, and patriots? Let me just do a little footnote to that. If Kamala Harris goes into office, we know where she stands. We know based on her history. We know based on our research. We know, ladies and gentlemen, that she will do everything possible to destroy the complete, give out the complete destruction of our Bill of Rights, especially our freedom of speech and our liberties that's found in religious liberties in our Bill of Rights and the First Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, I am fearful that in the next 55 plus days that we will not be obedient to the Word of God and will not go to the polls and vote. Multitudes of Christians, 40 million, did not vote in 2020. I understand about 25 or 30 million did not vote in 2022. I'm praying that every Christian, on the sound of my voice, if you've not registered to vote, you'll still do so while there's time, and that you will vote and vote no on Kamala Harris, because that she will destroy. She is a communist. She will destroy. She and the one that's supposed to be the VP candidate, Tim Walz, they're communists. They're Marxists. And ladies and gentlemen, go back and research the history and the background. They're not for the freedom of speech. They're not for religious liberties. They're not for the central biblicist worldview that we have as Christians today. I'm looking at a headline. Listen to this. I'm just amazed. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Have you experienced Christian persecution? Are you familiar with Christian persecution? Are you willing to bow and bend in order to keep that job? Bow and bend in order to not make ruffles for you or your kids in the public school system that today is running roughshod over everything that's called Christian liberties? I'm looking at the headline, law school, a leftist law school goes anti-Christian with new courses about the age of Trump. A top public university's law school is offering a class this fall that aims to explore the U.S. political shift towards authoritarian Christian nationalism. Let me read that again. A top public university's law school is offering a class this fall that aims to explore the U.S. political shift toward authoritarian Christian nationalism in the age of Trump. For the article states, it isn't surprising that the school would offer such a course, but it is disappointing, one writer says, mentioning multiple instances of similar bias experienced in that same school. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say this? When we look at the article and it talks about that, it's frightening to understand this is what is taking place. This is what is happening in today's marketplace. This article reads further. Course topics will include abortion and current legitimate crisis of the Supreme Court, and will discuss how they create a fundamental threat to social and political national stability, according to the email. The course will also examine, listen, the extent to which the American legal and political systems are being pushed towards some variety of authoritarian Christian nationalism with potentially fascist overtones and perils of that. Some of the required reading for the course include several books on fascism, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we have fallen to that point today that we're teaching courses in our law schools about so-called the dangers of authoritarian Christian nationalism. It is a persecution, open persecution, preparing lawyers for the future to be able to further persecute and prosecute Christians in the United States of America. I find it appalling that this is taking place in the law school. It's bad enough for it to be in the political arena. It's bad enough for it to be in areas that we're finding today promulgated, pushed by rules, regulations, and laws of the government that we're under. But now for the law schools to be pushing courses that are basically teaching anti-Christianity, anti-God, anti-American, anti-religious liberties, that's very, very dangerous, not just for now, but the future of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we are witnessing Christian persecution in America. It's though, as though we're the frogs in the kettle and the water's being turned up until it gets to the boiling point. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue the discussion right after the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL.